We read in Scripture that 10 righteous men can save a city. Now, in the past 100 years, we have been proving in Christian Science, in Unity, in New Thought, in the Infinite Way, that one individual imbued with truth can bring healing of mind, body, pocketbook, or human relationships to thousands of people called patients or students. Just think of some of the practitioners whom you may have known in any of these movements, some of the very busy ones, some of the very successful ones, and think of the hundreds of people, sometimes thousands, that even one of these could have influenced for good, brought physical healing, mental, moral, financial. As a matter of fact, I can remember sitting in the presence of one practitioner and within 3 months being healed of a disease that was supposed to have killed me within 3 months. And I can remember sitting in meditation with another practitioner and being so completely lifted out of my old selfhood that I never again could smoke or drink or gamble or do any of the ordinary things that were a part of a businessman's life. And an experience that led right into this spiritual work. Think for a moment now of the influence of those two people in my one life, and then think of all the patients or students with whom they worked over a period of years. Now, what set any of the practitioners you have known, or any of the teachers you have known, or any of the metaphysical or spiritual writers you have known, what set them apart from the rest of mankind? Set them apart so that they could bring about these healing works of the body, of the mind, of the character, of the morals, of the purse. What set them apart? And the answer is this. First, they were, in some way and for some reason, drawn to the study of truth. And they began to fill their minds with truth. Through books, through lectures, through teachings, through classes. And eventually, something happened within them. They probably couldn't describe to you what it was. You probably have never stopped to ask yourself what it was. But actually, at some particular moment of their lives, they made a transition from being man whose breath is in his nostril to being that man who has his being in Christ. In other words, at some particular moment in their experience, they attained. Just remember that word, attained. They attained some measure of that mind that was in Christ Jesus. They attained some degree of spiritual consciousness, Christ consciousness. They attained some measure of the transcendental, that which is beyond the human. And from that moment on, error, evil, sin, disease, false appetite, lack, lost its reality to them. So that as we came to them with our physical, mental, moral, financial, or human relationship problem, whatever the nature of the error or evil was, it disappeared just as darkness leaves a room when the light is turned on. Of course, the darkness in the room hasn't gone anywhere because there is no such thing, no such entity as darkness. What we call darkness is merely an absence of light. But in the presence of light, there is no darkness, nor does darkness go anywhere. In the three-dimensional mind, that is the mind into which we were born, sin, disease, death, lack, limitation, these are realities. In fact, they are greater realities than health and harmony. But the moment that we bring our sins and diseases and lacks into the presence of the spiritually illumined, those who have had that moment of transition, our disease disappears, our sin, our false appetite, the claim, the belief, whatever it may have been. Now, as long as we are only human beings, remember, we cannot function as practitioners or spiritual teachers because we lack that one essential. We may have the will, we may have the desire, we may have the hope, but none of those things heal. None of those things reform. None of those things enrich. It takes the actual experience of the Christ, the actual experience of spiritual illumination, the actual experience of the transcendental presence. When that comes to an individual, they are set apart. And in accordance with their fidelity, or in the measure of their fidelity to it, they will be successful as practitioners, healers, teachers, and so on. First of all, this must bring to our attention this, that as we become students of spiritual truth, we must be perfectly content to remain students and not try to be practitioners and teachers until that experience actually takes place within our consciousness that results in our being set apart. Those who have been with me many years know, of course, that that experience is one that I have experienced while sitting in the presence of a man who himself had received such spiritual light that he was really a very great and a very famous healer. He never undertook teaching because he never seemed to understand what it was that had taken place within him. He could let it take place and produce healing works, but he couldn't understand it. And so I discovered after this particular meditation with him that people were coming to me and asking me to pray for them, and they were getting well. Now, in the 30-odd years that have gone by since then, I have witnessed how this happens in the lives of others, that for a long, long time, in most cases, they go along studying truth. I've witnessed it in Christian Science. I've witnessed it in Unity. And certainly I've been witnessing it in the Infinite Way. And many, many of them have the desire to heal and have the desire to teach, have the desire to give to others, but can't. And I say to these, please be patient. You will. You must wait until the Spirit of the Lord God is upon you and you are ordained to do these things. Or, as the Master said to his disciples when he parted from them, remain in this city until you are endued from on high, until this Spirit of the Lord God is upon you. Now there is a moment, a definite moment, and everyone knows when it happens, when this Spirit of the Lord God is consciously upon them and working through them. And of course, usually the way they know it is the experience of others who come within range of their consciousness. The first step leading toward this is filling the mind, the consciousness, with truth. And the first fruitage that you will notice will either be in your family or among your neighbors or friends when someone begins to detect that you have something that they haven't. And they begin to ask you what you have, or ask you to share with them what you have, or even ask you for help. Now, I'm bringing this to your attention for a specific purpose. In ancient days, when the Spirit of the Lord God was upon one, this was called the coming of the Christ, or the first coming of the Christ to earth, the first coming of Christ to human consciousness. As you know, it happened with Moses. He was a shepherd. Years and years and years he was a shepherd, but undoubtedly within himself contemplating God and the things of God. And in a certain moment, he meets God face to face. God is revealed within his soul. God even becomes the voice that speaks through him. And from that moment on, instead of just being a shepherd of sheep, he becomes the shepherd of a whole nation of people. And without the benefit of arms, without the benefit of an army, he rescues the entire Hebrew nation right out from under the nose of Pharaoh and delivers them to the entrance to the promised land. That's all that any teacher can do for a student or a group of students, is to bring them to the entrance to the promised land. No teacher can take a student into the promised land. Every student has to walk into that kingdom through their own consciousness. The function of the teacher is merely to lead them to the entrance. And then they themselves have to take over and walk through. Now, in this last 100 years, we have witnessed that it is not only the saints, the sages, the seers, the mystics who receive this Spirit of God. We have learned now that it is possible for almost anybody and everybody to attain some measure of that Spirit of God. I am sure that had it ever been said 2,000 years ago that there would be 10, 11, 12, 13, 14,000 people doing spiritual healing work on earth, it would have been ridiculed. It would have been believed that only those whom God visited could do that. Now we know that God visits anybody and everybody who can open their consciousness to the receptivity, to that presence which is within. And it is for this reason that so many of us who were just businessmen, housewives, businesswomen, are actually spiritual healers and spiritual teachers, because God is no respecter of persons. God is available to you and to me in the degree of our opening ourselves to that presence. But this has a meaning now far greater than anything we have heretofore realized. Because even up to this year, we have thought of this coming of the Christ to individual consciousness as an unusual experience, always within the realm of the first coming of the Christ, meaning the coming of the Christ to your individual consciousness and mine. But within this past year, another revelation has been given to us, and we are at the beginning of this new era, which we will call the second coming of the Christ. And by this we will mean not the coming of the Christ to individual you and me who seek it, but the coming of the Christ to earth as the consciousness of all mankind. In other words, the consciousness into which your children or grandchildren will be born, so that they will not have to go through our experience. They will be born into their spiritual identity and spiritual demonstration. In the past, religion has always worked with the present generation. And even if it succeeded in taking you and me as a child or adult and leading us up to the point of spiritual consciousness, it always had to begin all over again with our children and grandchildren. In other words, we just about started to get a bit spiritual when the call came to leave this earth, and then the church had to begin with the next generation and lead them up to that point and then witness them go on. This will no longer be necessary. As we come into the experience of the Christ, the children and the grandchildren in this generation will be born into this, and we will not have to begin to educate the next generations into spirituality. They will be born into it, and that will be the promised day when the kingdom of God is established on earth as it is in heaven. When the kingdom or consciousness of God is established on earth and children are born into it. This day is here and now. This day, the Christ is being established as the universal consciousness. And it is for this reason that you are witnessing something on earth that never before existed. And that is, it is less possible now for men to do evil than it ever was. Because as they even think of doing it, the repercussion is upon them. In other words, there is already enough Christ established as human consciousness so that not only the doing of evil, but the mere thinking of doing of evil is enough to bring a repercussion on the thinker and the doer. Now, you know, in the third dimensional life, that into which we were born, men could do all kinds of evil and go through life and experience very little of punishment. That is why, for so many generations, we have had slavery, we have had man's inhumanity to man, we have had wars. You know, there never has been a righteous war. Every war ever fought has been an evil one. And those who perpetrated them got off pretty scot-free. The sufferers were the victims. I give it to you now that less and less of that will be possible from now on. Less and less of man's inhumanity to man, less of cheating men, stealing from them, robbing them of their birthright, less of sending them into wars, because the amount of Christ that is now functioning in human consciousness is sufficient to wreak immediate vengeance upon those who perpetrate wrong. And not in the sense of wreaking vengeance from the standpoint of the Christ, but of the human bringing upon himself the penalty of his thoughts, motives, and deeds. You will remember that Judas Iscariot committed suicide within a very few days after his betrayal of the Master, Perhaps you do not know why he committed suicide or what made it inevitable. Had he betrayed Pilate, he never would have had to commit suicide. He might even have lived to enjoy his money. But you cannot do a wrong unto the Christ without it immediately having its repercussion upon you. Not because the Christ does anything to you, but because coming into the presence of the Christ, the evil is destroyed. And if you keep clinging to the evil, it destroys those who cling to it. Those who can relinquish the evil are healed. That is why when you and I come before those of spiritual light in sin, we are healed rather than destroyed. The reason is we really don't want the evil. We really don't want the sin that we may be indulging. And therefore, when we bring ourselves into the presence of the Christ, we lose the sin, we lose the false appetite, and we hear the Master say, "Neither do I condemn thee. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Only sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon." Or we may be the thief on the cross, but we look to the Master, and he immediately says, "I take you with me into paradise this very night." And so with any one of us, if there is a sin, a false appetite, any evil, any wrong within our consciousness, and we are at that point where we really would like to be free of it, we need only seek someone who has attained some measure of spiritual light, and we will be forgiven. Our sin, our false appetite will be taken from us, and we will be set free. On the other hand, if we hold within ourselves some wrong intent, wrong desire, evil motive, and we have not come to the place of wanting to be loosed from it, but rather would like to profit from it, heaven help us if we ever hit up against anyone of spiritual light. It will not only destroy the evil, it will destroy us with it who are clinging to it. And that is taking place in this world today. Not necessarily because the evildoers are hitting up against some one of spiritual light, but because there is so much spiritual light loosed in human consciousness. Therefore, those who have in their mind the destruction of others or the enslavement of others, the impoverishment of others, the holding of others in bondage to anything, be assured they now are hitting up against the Christ that is loosed in human consciousness, and they are finding their punishment long before their plans succeed. This is happening throughout the world. All of this is to bring to your attention this. Every bit of spiritual light which you as an individual attain increases the amount of Christ consciousness that is loosed in the world. In other words, if I be lifted up, draw all men unto me. Therefore, if I have attained any measure at all of Christ consciousness, then you may be assured that those of you who are receptive are responding, and you can go away with an uplift, a physical healing, mental, moral, financial, any nature, or you may be lifted up yourself into a higher measure of Christ consciousness just by virtue of one being lifted up. Now then, when I have a group of 2, 3, 6, 12 who have studied for years, who have attained some measure of spiritual light, you may be assured that that is reaching hundreds, and hundreds are being drawn to the light. And when we have hundreds, then thousands are being drawn to the light, because any measure of light in my consciousness produces a spark of light in the consciousness of any one of you or more of you who are at all spiritually inclined. Therefore, any measure of spiritual light that is raised up in you immediately begins to raise up some member of your family, neighbor, friend, relative, or stranger. All of this bears witness to the fact that the measure of Christ raised up in an individual is the measure of Christ loosed in consciousness to raise up others. Now then, as you go forth from here, if you have been lifted up by so much as a grain, then you are carrying that grain of spiritual light out into the world. And that means that any degree of sin, disease, lack, limitation that touches your consciousness immediately starts to be dissolved, and others get healing. Yes, but I'm afraid to tell you that it also means that anyone who comes into the orbit of your experience, clinging to the desire to do evil, is apt to find themselves getting ready for a funeral. Because coming into contact with the Christ of your consciousness will do to them what it did unto Judas Iscariot. If Judas will not leave loose of his evil, he will be carried off with his evil. And so it is. We have on earth, I can testify to this since I travel the entire earth, hundreds of thousands of people, and we come in contact with tens of thousands of them, desirous of losing not only their diseases, but their sins and their false appetites, their resentments, their jealousies, their envyings, their malice, their lust, their greed. And because of the Christ loose in consciousness, they are finding healing. But also, there are those in all parts of the world who still believe that it is perfectly all right to live by the sword. And they do not know that in this age, they're going to hit up against the Christ and die by the sword. They do not realize that the weapon that they use against humanity is the weapon that will cut them down, and not in the far future, in the very near present. Ah, yes, there was a time when man's inhumanity to man could make men rich and powerful. That time is past. That time is gone. And the reason is there is sufficient of the Christ loosed in human consciousness so that as evil hits up against that Christ, the evil is destroyed and the individual is set free. And only where the individual is determined to cling to the evil and benefit by it is the individual destroyed along with the evil. Now, we are in that age. And we are in the age when children are being born into a world in which there is this greater measure of Christ. And it will only be just another generation until there is so much Christ loosed in human consciousness that you will witness it. You will witness that the kingdom of God is established on earth. And that means that there will be no more night there. There will be no more sin, no more disease, no more death. We will all be like the people in that mountain region of India, who live to 120 or 140 and then just fall asleep at night and go on to their transition. Each one of us in turn makes the transition from visibility into invisibility, and there is a good and a natural reason for it. As long as we have a mission to perform in the visible, we will be here in the visible. But when that mission is accomplished, we will pass from the visible to the invisible, and we will continue to live, but on a higher spiral of spiritual life. And I would like to illustrate that for you so that you will no longer believe in immortality, but actually experience it. I will ask you for a moment to visualize in your mind a tree. I don't care what kind of a tree or where. A tree. And somewhere on that tree are seeds. Now, the life that is the life of the tree, that same life, is the life of the seed. So that when the seed falls to the ground, and in some way is carried somewhere, falls to earth, sinks into the ground, the life of the tree is the life of the seed. Therefore, when that seed becomes a tree, the life that was a tree, that is the life of the seed, is now the life of the next tree. But remember, it is the same life that was the life of the first tree. Go back again now in your mind until this is very clear to you, that the life of the tree is the same life of the seed, and therefore this same life is the life of tree number two, which is the life of the next seed, which in turn is the same life of tree number three. We've had three trees, but we've had only one life. Now, at the beginning of our work this evening, I said to you that when you stand in front of a mirror, you cannot see yourself. You can only see your body. Well, when you look at a tree, you cannot see the life. You can only see the body of a tree, not the life. The life is the invisible self, the invisible force or being. The tree is merely a form. Just as what you see in the mirror is merely a form, a body. It isn't you. You are that which is described in the word I. I is not a body. I is me. I is that which constitutes me. I is really my life, the life of me. Therefore, as this body drops off, I do not drop off, for I am life. As a matter of fact, I am the life of this body. I am the life that gives this body its life, its direction. I am the life of this body. And as this body drops away, I, which is the life, immediately takes on a new body. I may look at it, may be very strange to me at first, because I have witnessed this, that I can be male or I can be female. Since I am neither male nor female, I am incorporeal spiritual life. It's only the body that has sex, not I. So it is that as you step forth from this body, you may at first find yourself in a strange place, looking at a body that is a bit strange to you, but you will soon recognize that I am I, you are you, and you'll get used to the fact that you have a different body to function in and through. And this body that you have will be suitable to the atmosphere in which you are functioning. If you function on earth again, it will probably be a body similar to this one. Now, the more you realize that the life of a tree is immortal, that the life of the very tree in your garden is the very life of the seed and the life of the next tree, the more you realize your immortality. The more you realize your immortality, the more you realize my immortality. But that's unimportant. What is important? That you will immediately recognize that the life of your child and the life of your grandchild is immortal. And even before your child is born, long before your grandchild is born, you will be carrying around in consciousness the truth of the immortality and spiritual nature of the life of this unborn child. And this child then will be born into immortality. Do you not see that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free? But it is only as you know the truth about yourself. O man, know thyself, and you will know God. So says the Greek. Know thyself. Know thyself to be spirit, to be life, to be immortality, and then you will be knowing that for all of us, and you will be knowing that for the generation now being born. And you will enable them not to be born into the mortality of 70 years, less or more. You will be knowing them to be born into immortality, eternal life. Then you will begin to understand the message that Christ Jesus gave to this world, which has never been accepted, never at any time. That message comes with the realization of this passage that he gave the world. Now listen to it well. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundant. Repeat it. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundant. I am come. Do you see what I have been driving at all of this evening? That I, in the midst of you, is the He that is come, that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly. Therefore, when I say, I, Joel, and you say, I, your name, just remember that that I has come into the midst of you as you, that you might have life, life more abundant, in fact, life eternal. I am life eternal. I think now on the tree. The life of the tree is the life of the seed, which is the life of the tree, which is the life of the seed, which is the life of the tree, and always it is that same life. And so you will see that I am life. I am not the body. I am life, and I am life eternal. Whether I am in the visible, or whether my time has come to pass into the invisible, is of no importance. I am life eternal. Now, if I am life eternal, if I am life immortal, I am life spiritual, then that life of me is the Christ life, or the presence of the Christ. And in the moment that you acknowledge that Christ, the Son of God, is your life, you have loosed more of the Christ in human consciousness, and you have made sure that sin, disease, and death are thereby lessened, that the days of man's inhumanity to man is passing into the past, that the days of living by the sword, taking up weapons, is passing into the past. Because in the recognition of the Christ of your being, you now have Christ on earth instead of mortal man. And of course, it would be impossible for you to believe for a moment that Christ is your identity without the realization that since God is my Father and your Father, Christ is universal identity. Now just think if 10 righteous men can save a city, that means 10 spiritually illumined men, think what 400 can do going out into the world acknowledging Christ liveth my life. And those who touch my life touch Christ. Their sins, their diseases, their lacks and limitations are dissolved, not by any virtue of me, but by virtue of I and my Father being one. Anyone who touches my life, my consciousness, anyone who comes within my orbit is lifted up spiritually. Their sins, their diseases, their false appetites, their lacks are lessened and destroyed. And those who insist on clinging to the sword, they're going to be destroyed along with it. And I'm sorry, but we can't have any regrets about it. This is why I know, since it was revealed within, that we are witnessing the ushering in of the second coming of the Christ, which means the coming of the Christ to human consciousness universally, not merely to the saints and sages, not merely to the few who become practitioners or teachers, but Christ is now coming to earth as the consciousness of mankind. You and I are ushering in that age in the recognition of the fact that I and my Father are one, that Christ is my individual consciousness and yours, and that everyone who touches me anywhere on this life's journey must automatically be lifted up, if only a grain higher in spiritual consciousness, a grain less of sin, a grain less of disease, a grain less of old age, a grain less of false appetites. This must inevitably be. And then, as you begin to realize Christ, you must consciously realize Christ as the identity of every individual, you are establishing the reign of Christ on earth. You are a part of that pioneer movement. You don't have to belong to anything. You don't have to belong to any religion. God has no religion. God has no church. You are the temple of God. Every individual is the temple of God. No reason why you shouldn't belong to a church if you'd like to. But belonging to it or not belonging to it has nothing to do with your relationship to God. Your relationship to God has to do with an activity of your own consciousness in which you realize I and the Father are one. I am the temple of God. I am heir of God, joint heir to all the heavenly riches, to the omniscience, all wisdom of God, omnipresence of God, omnipotence of God. I and my Father are one. This is a universal truth. We are all of the household of God. Then you see, in acknowledging this for yourself, in bringing to yourself the harmonies which automatically follow the reign of Christ, do not forget that you are bringing it to this entire world, because in the last analysis, we cannot wait for 3 billion people to decide to turn to truth to save the world, because nearly all of the 3 billion will pass on before they get there. And we'll have to start all over with the next generation and find that we've got 4 billion now. And they'll be passing on before we can reach them. Therefore, let's stop trying to reach mankind, and let's each of us determine to reach ourselves. Raise up the Christ in ourselves, realizing the Christ in each other, and thereby establishing the reign of Christ on earth. Then the 3 billion automatically will discover that they are God-governed. You know, when that day comes, you'll probably be surprised if you witness it, that they're not grateful for it. Oh no, they won't be grateful. And the reason is that they will not know out of what they were lifted. We witness that in our work. This used to puzzle me years and years ago when we had healings of so-called mental cases, mental disturbances. And all of a sudden, we'd witness a beautiful healing. And the shocking thing is, they weren't grateful. Never said a word of thanks. Puzzle you, just think of this wonderful demonstration and no thanks. And then all of a sudden you realize, well, of course, they never knew. They never knew they were mentally disturbed at all. They only know themselves now as they are now. And so it's going to be with us in that day when we truly recognize our Christhood. I'm afraid we're going to forget to be grateful, because we'll have no further awareness of what we... Well, of course, we are grateful because we know what we came out of. But the new generation that's born into Christhood will never be grateful, for they'll never know what they were saved from. Now, I told you for a definite purpose about the nature of the experience that happens to Christian Scientists, Unity students, New Thought students, Infinite Way students, when they hit a certain moment in their life and pass from being just a human being to an awareness of this spiritual identity. And the reason I brought this to your attention is this, so that you will know that in that moment when this happens to them, they become a spiritual influence unto hundreds and unto thousands. Now remember, in any degree whatsoever that you have any experience of spiritual uplift, please remember that from that moment on, you have become a spiritual influence unto hundreds and unto thousands, and you are ensuring the day of Christ as the consciousness of mankind. Thank you until we meet again.